A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
You know, I'm not just a game manager. I can be a game changer.
That's Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud. He can be that. Has he been that? Definitely not to the degree that he was last year. Whether that means he's struggling in a sophomore slump, or as some would say, stressing, I'm not sure.
I mean, he's changing the game for the other team.
Ooh, damn, got him.
Bazinga.
He has been saying a lot of quotes of late where they're ripe with sayings. And I feel like, kind of like he is on the field, he's trying to do a little bit too much at the podium.
Yeah, he's posturing, you know, a little bit. This is kind of, it's giving me CJ Stroud off-season podcast vibes, is the way I would put it. Where, like, okay. He's kind of talking his talk, talking about game. What was it? A game changer, not a game manager. I mean, it's a nice quote. It pops when you see it in writing.
He's about to throw a lot more at you. This is C.J. Stroud at yesterday's press conference. He was asked about the interception that he threw against the Cowboys, the one where he missed a open Nico Collins at the Cowboys 12. Here is what he had to say.
Just like I told you, bro, like, shooters got to shoot, and you know, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So, you know, I'm just gonna continue to play and throw anticipation, throw no looks. Like, I'm gonna be me. I'm gonna go out there and have fun. So, yeah, I don't. If it means I got to throw more picks to get us to win, like, it is what it is. But I mean, all my coaches trust me, and you know, I believe that, you know, I'm able to, you know, make some really good reads, and also, you know, be able to check it down when I need to or make the smart play. So I don't think it's just, out of a sudden CJ is throwing a whole bunch of picks. Like, no, I'm doing the same things I've been doing. So, yeah.
I mean, I guess.
Shooters got to shoot. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. Go out and have fun. It is what it is. Got to be me. There's a lot of quotes along the way. I do like that he is outwardly confident through a stretch where he's clearly not playing as well as he did last year. Let's all admit that. Stop blaming people. He's not. He's not. He can only control what he can control, but he is not playing the way that he did last year. A little skittish, a little more inaccurate, more interceptions.
Yeah, but he's also, like, the way he describes his interceptions in that is that, like, they're a positive result because he's being more aggressive with the football. I don't think we're really seeing that either. Like, we're not seeing him throw 3 touchdowns and 2 picks. He's throwing no touchdowns and 1 pick. He's also not being aggressive on these interceptions. They're bad throws. His last 3 interceptions are 3 of the worst of his career. So I hear what he's saying. And it's like, it's a lot. I think that's 2 weeks in a row now he's dropped shooters got to shoot. Last week he referenced himself as Steph Curry.
Well,
wait, did he do it again?
I was going to play last week's quotes just to show that he's putting a lot of these out there. Honestly, this might not even be the Steph Curry one, because this might be from Monday, where he just keeps talking about perspective. And there's a lot of things happening in this quote.
It's not as bad as it ever seems, and it's never as good as it ever seems. You know, there's always things to fix. There are always things to get better. You know, but, you know, those type of games, you have to come out with a win, especially going up like that at half. You have to come out with a dub. So, but what are we going to do about it? Cry and be like, oh, we should have got this. We should have got that call. We should have made this play. We should have made that play. We shouldn't have did this. That's every game, you know, but it's all about if you got the dub or not. So, you know, you learn from it. You move on. And, you know, my message is, man, let's stay tight. You know, we have enough people talking about us. And at the end of the day, it's the world we live in. You know, everybody is, you know, that saying, the person who talks about the other person with the plank in their eye, but they have like a wood chip, whatever, you know, I forgot exactly how it goes, but that's the world we live in. You know, it's easy to, you know, to be the guy critiquing, but, you know, we're the men in the arena. You know, everybody's entitled to their opinion at the same time. You know, I'm able to kind of, like, get away from it. But, you know, it's all about building up, not breaking down. And, you know, Ben and I breaking and, you know, building our house on solid rock, and we've been able to do that.
I'm trying to write down everything. Because...
Look, man, for the people that crapped on him for, like, the S2 test last year, he's not helping himself. He's not helping himself.
I like CJ Stroud. I like that he talks. But you got to build up. You got to not build down. We're building a house on solid stone.
Do you build houses on rocks?
What was the thing that he said?
The plink in the eye?
The plink in the eye with the wood chipper? Sean, can we play that specific part again? Because I was trying to just write down everything he said. I ran out of space on the piece of paper. Look,
did he mean a blink of an eye?
I don't know. I don't know, Joe.
Google wood chip in eye.
And I don't want to say. I'm truly, this is not me making fun of him. I feel like at the podium, he's trying to do too much. Oh. Just like on the field, he's been trying to do too much. Is this a crazy thing to tie together?
It's a Bible verse.
Okay. Well, it's hard to remember all of them. It's a big old Bible.
Yeah.
I was going to say, the house on solid rock, like that's a... I was picking up some, you don't want to build the church on the sand or whatever. There are ones that, like, he will drop Bible parables.
You will.
In there. I was not familiar with the wood chip one, and I don't think – I'm not sure CJ was quite ready.
Do you want to play that just specific part again? Here's
the world we live in. You know, everybody is – you know, that saying, the person who talks about the other person with the plank in their eye, but they have like a wood chip, whatever. You know, I forgot exactly how it goes, but
– He's trying to say too much, and I feel like he's doing that on the field. It's a bit of a stretch to tie the two together.
Now, to be honest, I don't really understand what this is saying. So it says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? I don't know what that means.
That's a lot.
Oh, no, it's like the small imperfection on someone else when you have a big imperfection.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't think CJ got that. But
I didn't get it.
He tried.
I didn't get it either.
There's a lot of words there.
And
focus group. Less words.
I agree. Less words.
Football's football.
Keep it simple. Honestly, football's football. Better answer than that. Bobby can't give that answer. CJ, I'm cool with him giving that answer.
Yeah.
And then last week, we also, I think we had in the same clip, I think he made a Steph Curry comparison and a LeBron comparison. But at this point, I don't know. There's a lot going on at the press conferences. I am not dumping on him. I like CJ a lot. I want him to continue to feel open and free at the podium. I'm just saying right now, sort of like he is on the field, he seems to be trying a little bit too much.
Yeah, he's just missing his shots at the podium. He's not truly conveying.
But shooters got to shoot.
He needs to do like 4 touchdowns this weekend.
I would like to see him do that.
Yeah. You know, instead of 3 rushing touchdowns, 3 passing touchdowns. I'll take that. There's a lot of words, though. He's planking the eye.
Stop.
What?
I feel bad now. I feel bad for playing all of this.
I hadn't heard it, so I was confused as it was happening. I was about to start taking notes as well, and I didn't even know what to write down.
I just wrote down here, and I missed at least 3. Shooters got to shoot. Live by the sword, die by the sword. Got to be me. Go out and have fun. You know, it's like the man in the arena. It is what it is. It's not as bad as it seems or as good as it seems. The world we live in, the blink wood chip thing. House built on stone. We build up, we build down. We don't build down. I can't read this. So, yeah, it's a lot. There was a lot going on there. I think he's got to take a step back. Having Nico Collins helps. Offensive line changing up, it helps. Try less.
Yeah.
Honestly, it'll probably work out for him. He was great last year.
Yeah. No, I'd rather him do this and try to give, you know, answers that are interesting than just be, like, super boring. At least he's giving us something to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, by trying out sayings and cliches and it not working.
Yeah. What's funny is that I bet you there's people in the media who are there who are like, this was great.
Yeah.
You really nailed it with these cliches.
I don't know. I don't know if people heard the plank of the eye one or were like.
No, I think if you're a good, you know, wannabe friend, because you shouldn't be and you're in the media, you tell CJ, hey, man, let's not do that one again.
Well, that's on the PR staff.
But the shooter's got to shoot.
I think the PR staff should give him a little bit of advice. But, hey, if you talk to a player and tell him this is what you should say, he might feel like you're being you're talking down to him. This is coming from people upstairs. So you can't really do that. This is me encouraging CJ. I feel like CJ this year, he realizes he's struggling. He knows he can play better. He is trying to move on from one game to the next game. And I feel like everything seems to be trying to do exactly what he did last year. And he doesn't need to look at it that way. The situation is better. He's a much better running back this year behind him. He has Nico Collins back, who is a better player than he was last year. You have Tank Dell back at 100%. You did not have him the second half of last year. There's a lot of things that have actually improved this year. And I do think at times he has been trying to do a little bit too much, trying to make plays happen. Look, you were seeing it with Caleb Williams until last week with Sunday. They bring in Thomas Brown, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, and that's why, all jokes aside, he is taking accountability in his own play. And he's really the only guy this year that when he meets with the media that really points the finger at himself and takes responsibility for the sacks that are, some of them are his fault. He doesn't blame the offensive line when he could. He can blame Bobby Slowick if he wanted to. He could blame so many different, there's so many drops this year from his wide receivers. You know, Tank Dell, go back to week one, right? When he has the drop touchdown. Like, there are moments, or maybe that's week two, but CJ could point the blame at everyone. But the gist of what he's saying is it's his responsibility to get it going again. And so like that I do very much appreciate, that he's saying like it's on him, because it is.
It's on me.
Bill O'Brien special.
Did Bill O'Brien ever mention planks and eyes?
No.
Houses built, what houses were built on?
No, he didn't do that.
No, but someone just texted us saying we're going to hell.
Well,
not for this.
Yeah.
Said y'all are going to hell. Maybe you need to pick up a Bible sometimes.
Hey, I knew I was picking up all the, you two there.
It's easier to pick it up when you read it.
Yeah.
Or when you get it right.
Yeah. That also helps.
The wood chip, the blink in the
That's
house.
Like if you ask me like about a parable, and I'm just like, I think it had something to do with this.
I'm rusty with my religious knowledge. I know, Sean, you're less rusty. You're closer to high school. And
yes, I am. Yes.
Well, yeah,
I went to St. Pius.
I didn't closer know that. To taking a religion class.
I did go to a Catholic school for my first 6 years in school, kindergarten through fifth grade. And I remember, like, I used to know the Bible, like, pop! To the point where I would go to CCD, which is what you have to do before you get confirmed. And since I knew everything, like, it was a waste of time for me to be there, because I was the only person raising my hand and answering it, because I also went to church every single Sunday. And I remember the day that Miss Campbell, who was my CCD teacher, said, Paul, you don't need to come anymore.
What a great day.
Hallelujah.
I thank the Lord. I was like, you know what? Finally, taking a class that I did well, it helped out. It was a fascinating class to take. Anyway.
I took one religion class in college, and it was the worst experience of my life.
It was?
I think it was the professor. He believed in papers. We wrote like 10 very long papers about things that were not about like the Bible or anything.
It was like this
weird like history / Bible class. I don't know.
College religion class.
Brutal.
Versus religion you're taught growing up class. It's a very stark difference.
Yeah.
I have not taken one. All I will say is if my sister was dating somebody who went to Notre Dame when I was in high school, and he came over to stay with us for Christmas, and he told me everything that he had learned in theology class, and I'm not going to lie, that kind of ruined everything for me. Then she broke up with him. So this guy who I saw like one last time basically shattered my concept of religion, and then he was just gone from my life.
This a-hole who's nice. I actually ran into him at Little Woodrow's randomly in Houston, like on my 30th birthday.
That's great.
Random thing. Anyway, whatever. It's Gallant and George. Let's just roll all the way through. So CJ Stroud, he's trying to show that he's confident. I think we're all not very confident with where the Texans are after 11 games. So I thought to myself, let's compare where we're at confidence-wise to where we were at, throwback Thursday style, 11 games through the 4 years where the Texans were at their best. That's 2011, 2012, 2018, and 2019. I remember Sunday, November 27th, 2011, because Saturday, November 26th, 2011, was the first time I ever did a radio show in Houston. And I remember this was after the bye week. The Texans were 7-3, but Matt Schaub was out for the year, and Matt Leinart was about to make his first start. And then in that game, yes, the Texans beat the Jaguars 20-13, but Leinart got hurt, and it was TJ Yates' time. That was a big gut punch. I think people thought to themselves, all right, they're 8-3. They've won 5 in a row. They're in a good spot, and they'd win 2 more before they lost their last 4 games of the year. I think that confidence-wise, people were definitely feeling worse than they are now because that team had a lot going on, but they were down to their third-string rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I don't. Obviously, I was a sophomore in college when that would have happened, but I can't imagine the confidence would have been very high with TJ Yates.
No, it wasn't.
Leading the way.
It wasn't.
I mean, Matt Leinart, like, I was listening, looks like he was solid that day. 10 of 13, 57 yards and a touchdown.
13 attempts for 57 yards is rough. That's like 4 yards an attempt.
It's 2011.
No, that's always terrible.
It was a lot of hitting the tight end at shallow. It was a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Ben Tate out of the backfield.
They had a great running game that year.
They really did. They won a playoff game with TJ Yates. They better have ran that football.
Right. Also, JJ Watt. That was the pick 6
that helped.
Game. 2012, the Texans were 10-1. They beat the Lions on Thanksgiving in overtime, 34-31, thanks to a miraculous, horrible call, which we will always be thankful for, where Justin Forsett had, what was it, a 81-yard run where he was clearly down. The Texans were down 24-14 at that moment in time, and Jim Schwartz got so pissed off about the refs missing it on the field that he threw the challenge flag, which made it impossible for the replay to review it because they were automatically going to review whether or not it was a touchdown. They automatically had to review all touchdowns at that point in time. So ultimately, they lost that game because Jim Schwartz effed it up.
What a terrible coach.
That's some old school Lions stuff. That never happens now.
Yeah.
It was. This was a weird stretch for the Texans. So they were 6-1. They got vengeance for losing to the Ravens the year before. On October 21st, they beat the Ravens 43-13. They had a bye week, and then all of a sudden they started playing a bunch of clunkers. They beat the Bills 21-9, but it was sloppy. They beat the Bears 13-6. Matt Schaub threw for less than 100 yards.
I remember that game.
They won that crazy game against the Jaguars where Matt Schaub threw for 527 yards and he had the walk-off touchdown to Andre Johnson. But at 11-1, people still were confident. I remember that was the moment in time where I, a-hole that I was, started saying, you guys ain't going to do bleep against the Patriots.
Which 2 weeks later,
I did end up being correct about
that. This is actually, before I moved to Houston, this is the season I remember the most of anything with the Texans. Because I remember it was the first time I ever had Andre Johnson in fantasy football.
Oh, yeah.
And he was awesome. He was awesome this year.
Had some big games.
So, yeah, I remember that one. I remember the Bears game because Jason Campbell was, I believe, the starting quarterback for that.
He was, you're right. The city was confident in the Texans.
They should have been at that time.
But there were question marks, much like there are question marks now.
Do you think there was more, like, when did the questions really start to turn on Schaub? Was it around this time, or like when people started to lose faith in him? Was it like 2012 when people started kind of bail? on Matt Schaub?
It was the beginning of 2013.
Okay.
People were still in, but I think the rumors that Manning could have come here started to percolate, I think, after or maybe during the 2012 season. And Manning wasn't doing great with the Broncos. I remember his first couple of games weren't great. In fact, that week three game, the Texans beat the Broncos 31-25. And Manning threw for a lot of yards, but it took him like 52 attempts to get him. Like, it wasn't a great game for Peyton Manning, that one. But yeah, I think it was as the year went on, and then the beginning of 2013, everyone yeah. was oh, out yeah. quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's also always the house. There's also the sense of like Matt Schaub. Like, you're going to walk into a stadium with Matt Schaub as your quarterback to try to beat Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and these guys in the AFC. Like, there's always a little bit of like, you really got to run and defense your way to this one, and yeah. Shanahan offense your way to this one. And when the Ravens actually won in 2012, like later that year, there's weirdly a little upswing of like, well, hey, Joe Flacco got hot, and you hung in there with the Ravens.
This was when elites talk.
Yes.
Became sports talk radio every effing day. Yeah. I was glad I did not have a daily show at that moment in time.
Because Schaub was better than Flacco
right.
before the playoffs.
Correct.
And then Flacco does that, and now is Joe Flacco elite? Mm-hmm. Well, Matt Schaub was better than Joe Flacco, so Matt Schaub is elite.
Right, exactly. Oof.
I couldn't imagine doing that. Because we all know he wasn't.
Yes, for both of them. The answer is hell no. But you had to pretend.
We're doing Throwback Thursday. Where were we at confidence-wise for the best teams in Texans history? Let's go back to 2018 and 2019 later on in the show. At some point today, I have to acknowledge a challenge to a fight that took place in the afternoon show. But up next, we've got the 10-minute drill. The Cowboys get more and more depressing. But is it more depressing than this unfortunate reality of primetime football in the near future? You will hear what that is next. Stay put.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Thursday night football. Oh, no. Cleveland Browns.
Great. Jameis Winston, baby.
Well, there's Jameis Winston. So, you know what? This could be worse. You have the Steelers at 8-2. Are they so good that they blow a team like Cleveland out? I don't know about that. The Steelers are just 3.5-point favorites for this game. The over-under's 37.
Gross. that's gross.
That's pretty bad. All of that, mybookie.ag, enter promo code BET975. Here is a very unfortunate development in the NFL schedule. Four of the Browns' next six games are in prime time for now.
Oh.
Yep.
Why?
Weirdly, the two games that are not in prime time are against the Steelers and Chiefs, the other Steelers game they play. Yeah, I don't know.
That's great. Like, they got to start getting some of these out of there.
I think they can flex some of them, but I guess the deadline to flex, and I don't know if it's happened yet, the deadline to flex their Thursday night, December 19th game against the Bengals is literally today. They play the Dolphins in Sunday night football week 17. Week 18 theoretically could be flexed into a good time, but they play tonight, the Steelers. They play the Broncos Monday night.
You know what would be awesome for the NFL day right now?
What?
If they flex the Texans off of Saturday, December 21st, back to Thursday. So instead of having to play on Saturday and then on Wednesday on Christmas, replace the Browns on that December 19th game. Hook the Texans up a little bit. Texans-Chiefs Thursday night football?
Today, I think today's... Mm-hmm. I think that three-game stretch is so crazy. The NFL is like, we're going to get yelled at if we do anything.
They already have Beyonce scheduled to perform one of the days.
She's performing on Christmas. It's okay.
Oh.
I get that.
The Chiefs one.
I get that, but it's a lot. Also a lot, the messiness of the Dallas Cowboys. Here's a sad Dak Prescott quote. The other day after the game, I guess it all just hit me. Boom. couple of tears came down. This is going to hurt. It's going to suck at times. You just have to understand this is one of those moments that it does. I don't want anything right now other than to let it suck. Damn, dog.
Dude, that's depressing.
That is very depressing.
Well, they're saying on the broadcast that the rehab for this is like he can start running in 4 months or something.
Oh, that sucks. Like, what are you doing for the next 4 months?
Not running.
Call of Duty?
Yeah, and then terrible rehab where your hamstring has to get reattached to the bone.
I think you got to leave the country. Let's just get away from all of this.
I mean, you can't run. Like, yeah. You probably can't.
That's what I mean. So just leave the country. What? You can walk.
Yeah, and you can fly private. You can get rolled onto a private plane.
Probably, exactly. Dak Prescott. He's not even coached.
Rolling him around like Cabo.
Yeah. Like, that's what Ezekiel Elliott used to do.
So he's probably going to do soon.
That's what Matt Stafford and Sean McVay did before they won the Super Bowl. Yeah. No structural issues at AT&T Stadium. So at least you got that going.
I beg to differ with that.
Yeah. Wonder when they opened the roof again. Like, at this point, you can't open the roof again with people inside.
Now, Thanksgiving, just send a message. Send a message to America that you can still believe in some American institutions, like Thanksgiving and Dallas Cowboys football and AT&T Stadium not falling apart.
Honestly, if they open it on Thanksgiving and then, like, they have to cancel the game, it wouldn't be the worst.
I don't think they're going to open it again the rest of the
Tommy
year.
Tommy DeVito versus
They hadn't Cooper. Opened it in 2 years.
That is crazy. You would think that they would open it every once in a while.
So God can see the stadium.
Yeah, God can watch his favorite team play. Although, maybe recently, God's like...
But isn't that why there's a Chiefs hole? Guy. Isn't there, like, the reason why there's the middle opening?
That was the saying back in the day.
Yep. Speaking of Tommy DeVito, he's back in our lives. But this time, he's trying to avoid fun and games. How pissed off do you think his agent, Sean Stellato, was when he heard that? Sean Stellato, member of the Italian-American Sports Hall of Fame. Tommy DeVito's agent. Not Tommy DeVito.
For what?
That's rightfully so, by the way.
For being
I don't
a
think
clown.
Tommy DeVito should be in the Italian-American Hall of Fame.
I honestly feel like he's got to get back into it. This is how you get the reality TV show, dude. And yeah, second time's not going to be as cool as the first time. There was no Linsanity 2.0. But no, man, you got to lean into the fun and games.
Yeah.
He got a football from the Pope last year?
Yeah.
Or this year.
It's very normal. I watched Godfather Part 1 and Part 2 this week in the background, while I was doing chores and such. And it checks out. Checks out!
I love how his Wikipedia, this is my favorite part. Stellato founded SES Sports in 2013. He is the president and sole agent.
Yeah.
You know,
what's wrong with this small
agency?
You don't like hire anyone in 11 years?
You can get the CEO on the phone.
Why would you
want to
hire anybody? Yeah, you can just focus.
I mean, look, we saw how it worked in Entourage. Like, eventually you want to be part of a bigger company.
Well, some people do and some people don't.
Yeah. Work for E.
Wait, you want him to work for
Screw
Scott Boras?
E. Yeah. Yeah, that's what he wants.
He might help Scott out.
Unwash him a little?
I mean, Tommy's getting, you know, deals.
I don't think there's a lot of Italian sports prospects out there. Outside of maybe F1.
Oh, wait, you think he only has Italian
I
clients?
Think, I know.
Yeah.
Look at it. Look at how he acts.
Like, I bet you, like, his dream is, like, Anthony Rizzo.
By the way, more from DeVito, you always stay ready. You always stay ready. That's why he was ready to go. Drew Luck seems very sad that he didn't get a chance to start.
That was a tough clip to watch.
Yeah, I feel bad for Drew Lock. Brian Daboll, I understand not everyone agrees with the decision we made. Yeah.
Including your best player.
I don't think he agrees with it. I don't think Daboll agrees with it. He wants to try to win. They're benching him to save money.
Yeah, I wonder if they even tried to do it with the... Last year, the Broncos tried to get Russell Wilson to write this out of his contract, the injury guarantee. We haven't even got a report that the Giants tried to do that, to try to force him to force his hand.
No.
Seems like ownership was just like, dude, get him out of here.
I agree that Tommy DeVito is worse than Daniel Jones, but it's not that much worse. Like, it's not like they're not benching like Pat Mahomes here. Like, they're still just benching a guy we all think should get cut this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I get why in the locker room they're like, this is BS. Like, we're not giving ourselves the best chance to win. But I think on the outside, like, this isn't some giant travesty that Daniel Jones is implying.
Definitely not.
If anything, it's more of like, why isn't Drew Lock playing?
Yeah, 100%. It's 100% that.
Because they're tanking.
And that's where I ask, is Drew Lock too good to tank?
He can't be.
Maybe they just want Tommy DeVito for the next couple games. They're going to have to play Dallas on Thanksgiving. And you want to make sure that you're walking in with the worst quarterback.
For sure.
In that tank battle.
I mean, look.
And then you can go to your better quarterback.
After. Well, they have another quarterback.
Who?
Oh.
They signed Tim Boyle.
This guy.
We know he sucks.
Tim Boyle. Can't believe that. I am now, like, actually up. First, I didn't care that Tim Boyle's in the NFL. Now, like, every time he plays, I see the stats.
Good for him.
How he's never been a good quarterback, like, dating back to high school.
American dream. Keeps getting paid. Not that good.
You were probably a better high school player than he was.
That seems like an insult. Probably
no.
not.
No, to Tim Boyle, it
probably
be.
Not. No, Tim Boyle was definitely better than me.
I don't know. I don't know.
I appreciate the compliment, though.
He was crappy at UConn.
Yeah.
What are you talking?
Adam Schefter had a very interesting interview with Kevin Clark on Kevin Clark's football show. And Kevin Clark asked him a very pointed question, and Schefter used it to flex so hard. Emphasis on hard.
Weirdest place you've broken a story is what?
I can remember being in Denver one time, and I was how do I say this? I had just spent time with this woman for the first time.
Yeah. Okay.
And
sure.
And got a text that Dale Carter was being suspended. I think it was for 8 games for substance abuse. And so as I continued to lay there, confirm it, and got the job done, Kevin, in every which way.
The story is funny.
That last part,
but the fact that it's for a Dale Carter suspension—that's
the funny.
It's just the funny.
In fact,
part.
He remembers it. He remembered like Dale Carter 8-game substance.
Like it's not like Peyton Manning broken neck, Andrew Luck retires in a preseason game, OJ killed somebody. Like it's like Dale Carter suspended.
Well, he got the job.
Honestly,
done.
I don't even know who Dale Carter is. And that's why either. It's funny to me.
Got the job done.
Both
more ways.
Ways
than one. Yeah. Yep.
Now I see why Woj retired. Like, the grind is tough.
Why did he feel the need to break this? And how little did he care about this woman that also happened?
I mean, he said it was the first time, so.
Yeah.
He didn't say it was she went on to be my wife.
Yeah, he didn't say it was, but he didn't say it was the last time.
Oh, yeah, that is
like,
true.
It could be his wife.
When was Dale Carter active?
I don't even
know
who that is.
How young was Schefter when this happened?
Yeah, while you look that up, some great Jim Harbaugh quotes from yesterday. There's no Chargers media, so I could not find the videos online. Apologies. Here's what Jim Harbaugh had to say about the Chargers' 4-game winning streak and their upcoming game against his brother John and the Baltimore Ravens. Quote, when people are giving you accolades and compliments and telling you you've arrived, kick them in the shins. You kick them right in the shins. That's what you do. They're trying to make you soft. Kick them in the shins.
He's one of a kind. I'm glad we don't have more of him.
Why?
Because I think we only have enough room in our life for one Jim Harbaugh. Because he's so incredible.
I wish everyone was Jim Harbaugh. He also said Justin Herbert's one of the best quarterbacks of all time. All in the same press conference.
He just said a lot of things about quarterbacks.
I was trying to look up the video of Jim Harbaugh saying this on X, and what I found was Jim Harbaugh quoting Nelson Mandela. I mean, the man is a treasure, and he's one of the best football coaches ever. I'm not going to co-sign the Justin Herbert, one of the best quarterbacks ever, but I do like Herbert as a quarterback.
So was he like, as the great Nelson Mandela once said, Justin Herbert is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah, that's it.
Don't fact check that.
Don't. I will not.
I love how it's like, I'm one of the best quarterbacks of all time. J.J. McCarthy said basically the same thing last year. and then Justin Herbert this year, and his number one strategy is don't let them throw the football. But it works.
Hey, he's playing football the way it should be played. Running the ball.
Run. Anyway, that is the 10-minute drill, guys.
Dale Carter's been suspended a lot.
I think it was 2000. He got suspended for a year.
How many times has he been suspended?
It said that was his fourth suspension.
Well, okay. At that point, it is kind of funny. If you're Adam Schefter, Dale again.
He got the job done, though.
He gets out a cigarette. And let me
more
tell
ways
you
than one.
I know. God, that last part. The laughing was a nice flex. The last part, calm down.
You got to get in there.
I'm sure, just like most people generally are, you were rather disappointing. I've got the job done. Did you? Did you interview her? What did the sources say after the experience?
Also, he didn't like tweet this because Dale Carter played in the 90s.
Right.
So like,
what was he gonna do? Like, type out a newspaper article about this?
Did he call like
on his
the
typewriter?
Denver Post like hotline?
Yeah. Who would Adam Schefter even like working for in 2000?
Denver Post.
Okay.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's talk about trap games next. We got a big game coming up the weekend after this weekend. We're going to be talking about it a lot in the near future. But I think one team is looking at this game a little too early. We'll discuss. Plus, could the Titans be a trap game? Stay put.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
November 30th, the rivalry is renewed. Texas A&M plays the University of Texas at Kyle Field. You want to stay tuned to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 for extensive coverage of this historic game. Thanks to our friends at Rebecca Creek Distillery. You'll hear interviews with guests from both sides, spirited conversation from all our hosts. We're going to have, I think, Brad Kellner on.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if there are others that we have on, but I know there's a lot of big names that'll be coming on the show. And you can connect to our coverage on the ESPN Houston YouTube channel and social media. Enjoy Rebecca Creek Whiskey, Enchanted Rock Vodka, and Texas Ranger Whiskey to celebrate the rivalry's return. Gig 'em and hook 'em.
Hook 'em.
So that game is 9 days from now. And unfortunately, Texas A&M, who plays Auburn on Saturday, is having to deal with the fallout from this slip-up from Mike Elko at a press conference this week.
There's already so much talk about November 30th. You know, it was announced as a night game today. How do you deal with that with your guys and saying, hey, we still have something ahead of us at Auburn? Or is that even a big issue with your team?
I don't think it's an issue. I think when you're in the situation we're in, it's easy to focus on the task at hand. You know, I think, those big games earlier in the year, you know, maybe you look ahead. If we didn't have that stake, what's at stake? Maybe you would worry about it. I think our focus is single-handedly on Texas. I mean, on Auburn right now, and locked in on what we got to get done.
He almost landed the plane. He was so close.
That's so tough. I feel bad for Elko.
I don't think I know a lot of people, especially Texas fans, are looking at this and saying, "Oh, of course they're focused on us." And unfortunately, Elko gave them all the ammo that they need because you now can no longer prove that they are focused on the task at hand. You can just keep pointing to this. It's the stenographer in court. Even if it's a sarcastic comment, the words have been said.
I can't even imagine like what the rivals and like these websites have just plastered all over the place. I mean, Sean's probably got it up written on his wall in his bedroom.
Oh, no, yeah.
But I will say, for Mike Elko, must-win game on Saturday. Must win. You got to beat Auburn.
I will say.
You cannot have this quote thrown
back
in
your face. One thing I've learned over the last, you know, football season here, as I was, you know, temporarily all in on the A&M wagon.
Loyalty.
Well, the problem is I've realized, even today again, how much Aggies and, like, the teams I root for, how much we connect. Because before the show today, I was talking to our boss, Todd, about all this stuff, the Rebecca Creek and everything, and what we've got coming up over the next week. And he said, God, they got to beat Auburn. And I was like, we're similar, us Aggies fans and Notre Dame fans. Like, we're kind of the same here. So,
and I can easily see them having another South Carolina.
That would be one of the biggest letdowns. Like, it's $700 to get into the stadium right now.
I mean, no matter what, it's a good game. A&M is good this year. I don't know if they're great, but they are good. Texas has the capability of being great. They've been underachieving of late. In a weird way, this game actually might recenter their focus. This is me doing spin zone for all y'all Ags out there. I actually think there's a chance that this is a chance for Mike Elko, if he's self-aware, to go in and say, look, we're focused on one thing this weekend. It is an Auburn team.
You have to make sure you get that right when you say it, though.
That would be so
Coach,
funny.
Coach said, Elko, you have to make sure you get it right.
We got a big game against this Saturday against Texas Auburn.
Checked my notes.
Yeah, it would have been funnier if he did this just in front of the team and we found out. Like, after they lose to Auburn. Reports say that when Mike Elko was meeting with his team this week, he accidentally said they're more focused on Texas.
Oh, you can't leak that out.
Yeah, I'd be like, Joel Embiid.
I think that listen, trap games exist. I don't know if the Titans are a trap game for the Texans, but I'm glad you brought up the Joel Embiid thing. We were going to touch on that when we talked about the Rockets a little bit earlier. You know, the leaky ships. It's funny that there are as many as there are in the world of sports. Joel Embiid was asked about the team meeting in Miami where somebody said that Tyrese Maxey confronted Joel Embiid. He needs to be on time ever. And Embiid to that said, whoever leaked that is a real piece of bleep. It's kind of annoying having to deal with the same things over and over and over. Oh, like being late?
This is why team meetings are most of the time a
players meetings.
Sentence. Yeah, player meetings.
Yeah.
Because a players only meeting, something gets leaked, and then you know, like it's funny. I just saw, I didn't see it on Monday night, but Scott Van Pelt and Joe Mixon having like an actual conversation about it. But that's because they publicly, the Texans, you know, talked about these player meetings. But because of this one, instead of Joel Embiid actually wanting to take accountability. Now they're all just angry that there's a traitor inside the locker room and leaking these details.
Oh.
Like, you got a rat in your locker room. And so now the focus kind of goes off of Joel Embiid being late and working hard, and it turns into, oh, well, like, now we can't trust our teammates. That's why these things never work.
I think they can, but there are a lot of organizations that just have people who are chirpy in the building, and it's institutional. I mean, it's been the Jets have been this way for 25 years.
Yeah, and what isn't helping is the, like we saw with Michael Parsons, the podcast, the Paul George, who today put up a YouTube video. Paul George gets real on the players-only meeting leak, Sixer struggles and more, featuring Reggie Jackson, who's a Philadelphia 76er.
Yeah.
Gets real?
I think it's an hour and 20 minutes.
I think the podcast stuff makes it worse, all of this.
So much worse.
Because then about it.
There's no way that you're a Sixers fan and you watch this Paul George hour and 20 minute podcast on YouTube. And there's no way that you come out of it being like, I feel better about where we're at.
And I give Paul George
feel more comfortable where we're at.
Like, I'll give them credit. Like, if you're going to host a podcast, you have to talk about
this. Oh, you have to.
You can't ignore it.
NBA drama is better than basketball these days.
Yeah.
No offense. The basketball, it's a lot of shooting and a lot of missing. The drama off the court, it is way better. And, you know, to take it to the podcasting side of things, I mean, you see Draymond on his podcast, Draymond podcast master that he is. Draymond talked about tripping Zach Edey, and he said that people want him suspended
so that NBA ratings will get boosted?
The ratings is low. We know Draymond name sparks buzz. We know that name carries weight. We know that's going to get people riled up.
Controversy. Hey, man,
ratings low. And sub in Draymond shit.
Draymond, we can't trust you. We can't trust you as a podcaster.
First of all, man.
Sorry, Sean. I won't even send to the next clip. I thought it was clean. I didn't watch the whole thing. Look, he's always podcasting, and I think he is tongue-in-cheek there, but it is interesting what this has done to a league where the games are not as entertaining. Now, all of a sudden, everyone's talking about all the drama, and I think a lot of people do eat it up, but it's not a good sign when that's becoming better than the actual product.
Yeah, no, they eat up the content. They eat up the trade deadline and the offseason and the podcasting and all the Gilbert Arenas stuff and all these different things that go viral all the time. Like, they have a very clear, great market on TikTok and YouTube Shorts of NBA content, but no one's watching the games.
Well, the biggest thing is that they skew so young. And where they dominate skews young with the TikTok and the YouTube stuff. The thing is, across multiple kids that I know this age, the 18-year-olds, the 17-year-olds, they consume it on TikTok. They consume NBA stuff on TikTok and on YouTube, Instagram. They don't watch Space City Home Network to watch the Rockets play.
And the idea is obviously that they're eventually going to, but will they?
It's an entire generation of people that, like, again, they grew up on TikTok and Instagram Reels. I don't know if they're going to sit down and watch a 2.5-hour broadcast of anything.
And they also, they don't care about their teams. The loyalty is gone from this generation because of what the players did. Like, they don't care about, there's so many kids that do not care about the Rockets. They buy Steph Curry jerseys. They buy LeBron James jerseys. It happens in every market now where, like, they're not rooting for the teams they're supposed to root for. So,
and part of it's because
good luck to you.
Also, some of it, you don't watch the game. So you're not, like, living and dying whether the team wins or loses. You're just, wow, Ja Morant's cool. that's what you do. You go, wow, that Ja Morant dunk was insane.
Man, that Ja Morant 13 punches of a teenager was awesome.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards. Wow, what a dunk. Also, what did he DM that girl?
Ja Morant. Oh, he's playing with his gun on Instagram again? That's cool. I play with my Nerf guns. Yeah, who would have thought that LeBron would be the man of good action here because he's leaving social media?
Thanks for telling us. Appreciate everyone.
Ahala. He said that at the end. He saw some tweet, I guess, where someone's saying social media is negative. And I don't know. Maybe he's taking his talents to Blue Sky. I'm not sure. He is definitely leaving social media. But he has it right. Just get off of this. Talking about it. Chirping about it, like it's only going to backfire, and I think it is with Joel Embiid. It's definitely with Paul George, who, by the way, is hurt. Very easy to talk about the players-only meeting when you can't do anything on the court to save your team.
He's on a minutes restriction before he got hurt.
Well,
we learned that.
Yeah, he hyperextended the same knee.
Eesh. That's not good.
It was like the same exact injury.
Man, you hate to see Philadelphia just disappoint.
Hate it.
They never do that in basketball. God, it's great being in the same division as the Knicks and the Sixers. Anyway, he's Joe. I'm Paul. You got Sean behind the glass. Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, is $350 million something that Alex Bregman can really ask for? And I was challenged to a fight on the afternoon show. We'll finally decide.